Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Tune into CITR 101.9 FM every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. And you can also find the podcast on CITR.ca, iTunes, and my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com.
This is how to make a great sandwich. Step 1. Get the soft but sturdy bread.
Up in smoke, it's where my money goes.
Step number 2. Butter it with your favorite spread. Step 3. Put in the meats and veggies. Step 4. Shake it up. Pepper, salt, and all.
It's 11 p.m. Jack has me cows. Open fridge and I drink daddy big styles. Multi refine girl, more can reach out. And I'm NTA, more can speak out.
Step 5. Find another piece of sturdy bread. And that, my friends, is how you make a great sandwich. For more, listen to Soul Sandwich every Monday from 5 to 6 on CITR 101.9.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives. Well, holy smokes, it's Friday again. It's the 20th of March, 2015, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM from the luxurious Student Union Building on the Musqueam territory of Oaksen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Linda Griffith's play The Duchess, about British high society and royalty in the 1930s and Nazis, is getting the Sarah Rogers treatment at the Cult Historic Theatre next month. Ms. Rogers herself will explain later. March Theatre Madness continues in Vancouver, and we'll keep you up to date with what's happening on our local independent stages as best as we can with the time allowed to us. Plus, plenty of local music and other events to go with your grilled cheese and tomato soup. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And we're going to kick it off right away with some not quite local music, but they're from BC. They're from Nelson. They're a great new electronic duo that has just released their newest CD. It's called Slow Motion. They're called Meter Bridge. You can get it on SoundCloud. And this is one of my favorite tracks. It's called Frozen. It's right here. It's right there. There it is.
I stumbled in the water. I stumbled in the water. I stumbled in the water.
That's Vancouver and kids at school. One of the cool things about doing this job is that we have a little mailbox in the record library, and every once in a while there's something in there for me. And the great Eugene Ripper has just recorded and produced and released. That's the word. I knew it started with an R. He's just released a 4-song EP called Fast Folk Underground 4.0. And this is a track off that one. It's called Vincent's Lament.
Go, Van Gogh, you got inspiration. Don't stop now, it's your impression. 100 years, no recognition. Without your brother, impossible mission. You're all alone. So go, Jaco Van Gogh. I am that man with a brush in my hand, and them wheat fields and thunderclouds, parasols gone underground. Inevitably you won't remember me until I'm dead beyond the scene. Even then most probably you'll mispronounce my name. Go Van Gogh, it's concentration. Well, in your room, your imagination. I soothe my mind with your expressions. Well, don't look back, it's deep depression. You're all alone. So go, Jaco Van Gogh. I'm walking through Paris in the pouring rain. I got a demolition time bomb in my brain. Well, I check myself in the psycho ward. With psychedelic vision gonna color my world. Gonna color my world. Well, I am that man with a brush in my hand, and them wheat fields and thunderclouds, parasols gone underground. Inevitably you won't remember me until I'm dead beyond the scene. Even then most probably you'll mispronounce my name. Go Van Gogh. Go Van Gogh. Go Van Gogh. Go Van Gogh.
Jesus, not enough whiskey, ran all your friends away. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, all you ever had to say. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, only thing on your mind. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, so don't go sitting around crying. Too much Jesus.
not another whiskey. All you ever have to say. You've been walking this road for a real long time, trying to keep a cool head, try to keep a sound mind. You don't care what they may say, because you know that Jesus is the only way. So you stop doing this, and you stop doing that. You used to be fun before the party was done. You got the staff of the tribe of Judah in your hand. All you got is milk and honey flowing through your land. So I look at you, and what do I see? I see my reflection looking back at me. And I ask myself, am I wasting my time? But even Jesus turned a little water into wine. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, ran all your friends away. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, all you ever had to say. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, only thing on your mind. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, don't go sitting around crying.
That is Demon Squadron, Too Much Jesus, and they are going to be performing tonight at Café du Soleil on Commercial Drive, along with Samson and Delilah, and that gets underway about 9 o'clock tonight. Admission is between $5 and $10, depending on how much you got in your pocket, so check them out. Lots of fun at du Soleil tonight on Commercial Drive. We are going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we are going to have our conversation with Sarah Rogers all about the play The Duchess. Don't go away.
Bonjour, mon nom est Laurence Gatinel, and I'm here in Vancouver, BC. Over the next few days, myself, as well as other colleagues from around the province, will be shining the spotlight on the West Coast francophone and francophile community. This is our very own way to celebrate les rendez-vous de la francophonie.
Le saviez-vous? There are about 6, 7, maybe even more, French-speaking festivals through the province happening every year. Let's talk about one of them, which is Pacifique en Chanson. It's a contest and a show for emerging artists in music. So artists that's just starting in French or starting their career, emerging singer-songwriter can apply to this event. And then it's a full week of training, workshop with professional musical industry. And then there's a show at the end. One of them can go on and do the same event, but for the Western provinces in French. And then after that, there's a possibility to go to one of the similar events in Quebec. So this is a way to embrace and experience your French skill and develop the Francophone community in BC. My name is Jean-François Pacoud. I'm the Executive Director of the Francophone Arts Council of BC. Conseil culturel artistique francophone de la Colombie-Britannique.
Join us for Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, March 6 to 22nd. For more information, visit rvf.ca.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Caslaw, My name is Gennarji O'Sullivan of the Tlaweetsis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Wendell exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
Okay, that didn't work. We're going to have to find something else to play for you and then get back and find out why that interview didn't work. So let's listen to Lindsay. Lindsay Kupser. She was here on the 26th of December, day after Christmas. She's was studying music in Boston for a couple of years. Now she's going to be moving back to Vancouver next month. She's just released her new EP that's available on Bandcamp, and this is a track from it called It's My Turn.
Oh.
Okay, that works. My goodness. It's one of those days, folks. Here we go.
On December the 11th, 1936, King Edward VIII shook the world by becoming the first British monarch since 1399 to abdicate. He was renouncing the crown, he said, because he couldn't go on without the support of the woman he loved, and that the Constitution could not or would not allow. The drama split the country. Not that till now they knew much about it. At the King's request, the British press had kept rumours of his romance away from the public. The Prime Minister, Stanley Baldwin, had done his utmost to try to dissuade the King from marrying Mrs. Simpson. Mr. Churchill, on the other hand, was sympathetic. The lady who'd caused this constitutional crisis came from Maryland in the United States. The problem was that she was divorced, and that, for the British establishment, ruled out any possibility of her becoming Queen, despite Edward's obvious love for her, which, up to now, he'd had to express in secret. Before he left for exile in France, the King spoke by radio from a room in Windsor Castle.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. You all know the reasons which have impelled me to renounce the throne. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do without the help and support of the woman I love. And now we all have the new king. I wish him and you, his people, happiness and prosperity with all my heart. God bless you all. God save the king.
Push it again, and we're rolling, just like that.
Love it.
Look, it's Sarah Rogers.
Hello, dear Dave Gamble. Great to be sitting across from you.
Oh, it always is, yeah. So now we're talking about the Duchess.
Yes.
And the Duchess, for those who don't know, is the Duchess of Windsor.
Correct.
Who was Wallace Simpson.
Simpson.
Who was the woman that brought down a king.
She certainly did. The one and only abdication from the throne. Big scandal in the late 30s. And, you know, my mother is a Brit. My whole family is British. Yeah. And I grew up hearing about that woman.
Oh, she was horrible. This awful woman that brought down the king.
And so, you know, that carried with me. And, you know, that's how everybody felt. And my mother to this day feels that it's, you know, all her fault. And the fact, you know, that she had been married twice before was such a huge scandal. How could he fall in love with a divorced woman? Not once, but twice.
Oh, and while she was married to her second or third husband or something.
They're delicious liaison. Yes.
So why, this is something that happened in the 30s. Why are we talking about it now?
Well, I think that it is forever fascinating. And in lots of ways, look at today. You know, we are hungry for, the society eats up the information on the personal lives of stars. And really, this couple were the star couple of the 30s. And they were royalty.
They
were literally royalty. Yeah. And so they were the real thing. They weren't actually just movie stars. Yeah. But he was like a movie star. Edward was followed and adored, and he was kind of a modern man. He was going to jazz clubs. He was hanging out with Noel Coward, later Hitler. So he was a fascinating character, and he was going in fast circles, and that is not what the royal family did. And so the people, the commoners, loved him because he was breaking all the rules. And he was definitely from that kind of jazz swing era. And she was too, of course. And she was a brash American.
Yeah, even worse. Not that she was divorced, but she was an American. Now, the play itself, it also has an interesting pedigree. It was written by the great Linda Griffiths. The late, great Linda Griffiths.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. So this is an incredibly special project to me. I did a mounting of this piece a couple of years ago at UBC. Mm-hmm. And Linda was alive then. And she came with her guest, Daniel McIver, on opening night. And basically, she gave me permission to cut and paste two editions of this play. So she had done an original piece like a decade ago, and it was done at Theatre Passe-Marais, and she had published it. And then many years later, she decided that she wanted another crack at it, and she felt that it was never really quite a complete piece. And she workshopped the play at Playwrights Theatre Centre here in Vancouver. And so I was very excited when I found out there was a revision and a revised edition. Fantastic. And so I asked for it, and she sent it to me, and it was a completely different play.
Wow.
So, And I had two plays in front of me and literally went, I love scene 8 from this play, but I love scene 5 from this play. And I love... So with her blessing, I melded two scripts and I created a brand new play. And I was terrified when she came because I had really done a cut and paste job.
Yeah.
A huge cut and paste job. And I thought, oh, she's in Toronto. She'll never come out to UBC opening. And who flies in for the grand opening? And I thought, she's going to shut the show down.
Wow.
She's going to shut it down. Because I took great license. Yeah. Great license. Like went, oh, I like this joke. I'm going to move it over here. Mm-hmm. Like I really did quite a number. Well, God bless her. She loved the production. And she wrote to me the next day and said, would you send me your full copy? And I would like to republish this play. And will you do the introduction? Will you write the intro? And Dave, I did it. And it all happened. And it literally got published months before she passed away.
Wow.
So I have on my bookshelf a copy of the play that I created with all my musical choices in and my intro. And we get to present this piece again in a professional venue as part of the Vancouver East Cultural Center's season. And I couldn't be happier. And with the fantastic Ruby Slippers, you know, and Diane Brown is playing Wallace in the leading role. So it's just a dream come true.
How exciting.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
And it's literally one of those stories that it could have gone either way.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more about Wallace herself and sort of how she is, how, like, what point of view this play takes on her story. Like,
it's a great question.
The history of it is that she was kind of the villain, but I'm imagining that's not what the story is.
It isn't at all. And that's a great question. And that's what I love about Linda Griffiths. And I love that about her writing. She was fascinated with women that break the rules, with powerful women, interesting women.
Well, her first big success was in the 70s with Maggie and Pierre.
That's exactly right.
Margaret Trudeau, one of the great iconoclasts of Canadian politics.
Yes. And she did that as a one-person show.
Mm-hmm.
And she played both those characters.
At the Van Nuys Cultural Center, I saw it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, you know, there you go. Right there. There's her fascination. Yeah. And it starts right there, right? And again, kind of colorful, wildly criticized women as well.
Mm-hmm.
She creates, I would say, quite a real portrait. What I mean by that is that this woman seems real. And she is the heroine of this piece. She speaks directly to the audience. Mm-hmm. And so we go on this journey with her. And it's quite fantastical. Linda has a great, great wit and great sense of humor. And she also loves to cross lines and I think shock her audiences. And so her depiction of the royal family is like nothing you've ever seen. They fart. They swear. They are real.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, they could totally be like this behind closed doors in their own palace. Of course. And so, I mean, I think some really loyal, you know, royalists out there may be horrified. But I love it. It's really titillating. It's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, she crosses all these lines and makes everybody very real, but particularly Wallace. And, you know, she doesn't make her sympathetic character either. She just presents her and you can make up your own mind. She's brash, she's strong, but she's witty and she's vulnerable and she shares her thoughts and feelings with us, with the audience, as we go on this crazy ride with her.
Mm-hmm. She did stay with Edward for 30 years after he stepped down. So.
Well, she did. And although I think that she also talks about that in some of the biographies that I've read, that the pressure The love story of the century, they call it. The love story of the century. Yeah. And that the fact that this man gave up the throne for her also, in a way, meant that she could never leave him.
Yeah, that's true.
It was not all
roses
and champagne.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. You know, they were exiled to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very, very hard time for them. And I think that they always thought they would go back to England and that they would be accepted in England.
Yeah.
And I think some people would say he was a Nazi favoritism. And
sympathizer.
Thank you. Sympathizer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, you know, he deserved that. But I feel like he got caught up in circles where Hitler was kind of at his fame and at his top, and that's kind of the social circles that he was in, and really because of that he got punished for it.
And whether he was or wasn't, if he was, he wasn't the only member of the British aristocracy that was.
Absolutely.
You know, it was, and I mean, you know, he came from a German family. He
had strong,
his cousin.
Yes, I know.
His cousin was in the Nazi cabinet.
I know. And it goes back to the First World War as well. I mean, and that's what's so ironic and twisted and crazy about the whole British heritage. And you look at the both wars, you know, because they're all related.
Yeah.
They're all cousins.
Well, his father changed his name during World War One to sound less German.
Mm-hmm. Like many other people.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious that the royal family has to do it as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the cast.
All righty. Well, I have, as mentioned, the beautiful Diane Brown in the lead role. And Craig Erickson, one of, you know, Vancouver's cherished actors and just a terrific chameleon. And so he's playing David, as we affectionately call him. He's he's playing Edward.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have Rogi Yu playing Ribbentrop.
Oh wow!
So you know we're really you know going colorblind here.
Yeah.
So we have an Asian actor playing a Nazi. So that's going to be really fun. And Eileen Barrett. And if there's ever a lovely British royalist out there to play the Queen Mum, it's Eileen. So I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah.
And so those are my equity actors.
Yeah.
And then I have this terrific chorus of UBC actors and Studio 58. But I do have four returning actors from the original production. And I'm just thrilled about that. And they're going to be my anchors.
Mm-hmm.
This piece, we have kind of our lead players, and then we have a chorus. And it's almost like a Commedia dell'arte chorus.
Yeah.
And they play several roles. Everybody plays several roles in that. They're in the royal family. And in this piece, because Linda has such great imagination, she has personified the jewels. So she has personified Wallace's jewels, because everybody knows she had quite an obsession with her jewelry collection that eventually was auctioned off. And Noel Coward is also in our show. And to be honest, the reason why I really turned the play into a musical because an actor named Alexander Williams, UBC student, played the piano, played the saxophone, and was a fantastic singer. And he was playing Noel Coward for me. And as I did my research, I started listening to kind of the old Coward music.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, for heaven's sake, this needs to be in the show.
Yeah.
And so he is singing a lot of Coward live for the transitions throughout the evening. So you get this absolutely beautiful kind of musical concert of the best of Coward as well.
Which puts you right in the period.
It puts you right in the period, right in the era, and all that kind of great music that they would have been listening to at their parties.
I think that's good. Thank you very much.
Pleasure as always.
Sarah Rogers spoke to us from her penthouse on East Georgia Street and her production of The Duchess, a.k.a. Wallace Simpson, by Linda Griffiths, presented by Ruby Slippers Theater, will be at the Cult Historic Theater at Victoria and Venables starting on the 7th of April.
Your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. The profession is overcrowded and the struggle's pretty tough. And admitting the fact she's burning to act, that isn't quite enough. She has nice hands to give the wretched girl her due, but don't you think her bust is too developed for her age? I repeat, Mrs. Worthington, sweet Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Regarding yours, dear Mrs. Worthington, of Wednesday the 23rd, although your baby may be keen on a stage career, how can I make it clear this is not a good idea for her to hope? Dear Mrs. Worthington, is on the face of it absurd. Her personality is not in reality exciting enough, inviting enough for this particular sphere. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. She's a bit of an ugly duckling, you must honestly confess, and the width of her seat would surely defeat her chances of success. It's a loud voice, and though it's not exactly flat, she'll need a little more than that to earn a living wage. On my knees, Mrs. Worthington, please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Though they said at the School of Acting she was lovely as Peer Gynt, I'm afraid on the whole an ingenue role would emphasize her squint. She's a big girl, and though her teeth are fairly good, she's not the type I ever would be eager to engage. No more buts, Mrs. Worthington, nuts, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage.
Well, I got a friend named Carlos, and he lived just down the hall. When he plays a conga, the night begins to fall. Where he plays a hippie rhythm and he plays a sexy beat. But when he plays a rumba, you just got to move your feet. Everybody, let's rumba. Oh, up and down the hall. Everybody, let's rumba. Oh, come on, one and all. Everybody, let's rumba. Down the hall, everybody rumba, one and all. Yes, I got a friend named Billy, and he lives just down the street. When he plays a guitar, man, that guitar sure is sweet. Well, he plays some hippie rhythm, and he plays a sexy beat. But when he plays a rumba, you just got to move your feet. Everybody, let's rumba. Up and down the hall, everybody, let's rumba. Oh, come on, one and all, everybody, let's rumba. Yeah, up and down the hall, everybody, let's rumba. Oh, come on, one and all.
That's High Rise Decks Kempton Dexter. He is going to be one of many performers that are going to be on stage at the Havana Theater tonight and tomorrow night, part of Kenny Rogers' Spring Fling. Jacques Lalonde and friends presenting an old-fashioned variety show with songs, dance, comedy, magic, and much, much more. In fact, your humble correspondent will make an appearance tomorrow night. So, but check it out tonight as well. It's I think it's like 10 or 15 bucks to get in, and lots of fun all night tonight at the Havana. Also going on around town, Studio 58 at Langara is presenting a new production, a new brand new musical about the Elbow Room Cafe, a West End favorite for the last 35 years. It's written by Dave DeVoe and Anton Lipovetsky, and it features David Adams and Alan Zinnick as the iconic hosts and proprietors of everyone's favorite West End cafe. Elbow Room, the cafe, the musical at Studio 58 at Langara. It's a Zoo Productions presentation of their brand new play, The Competition is Fierce, continues at the Shop Theater on East 2nd and Main. We've got Pull Festival 4. You've heard of the Push Festival. This is the Pull Festival. It's a festival of 10-minute plays by local writers, actors, and directors. And there's no advance sales. You have to show up. It's at Little Mountain Gallery, 26th and Main. Tickets available at door starting at 7 o'clock. And it's only 15 bucks, and beer is $4. So, you know, you drop down to 20, you get to see a show and have a beer. That's at Little Mountain Gallery. And, you know, just one show. You get to see like a dozen shows. So check out the Pole Festival this week, and that's tonight and tomorrow as well. Last week, we talked to Anna Hagen it's lost me for a second there, but... their production of Laburnum Grove, that's the important thing, is happening this weekend at PAL Studio Theater. It's an immoral comedy with some hilarious characters. It's a kind of an expanded version of a stage reading, a very entertaining show. 7:30 start tonight and tomorrow night, and 2 o'clock afternoons tomorrow and Sunday at the PAL. At the Kulch Historic Theater, we were talking about the show going on next month. Right now, there is a dance production by Kahawe Dance Theater from Toronto. It's called Transmigration. It's inspired by the life and paintings of iconic Ojibwe shaman artist Norval Morisseau. At Performance Works on Granville Island, we've got three shows in rep by the highly talented Randy Parliament, one he even wrote called The Singing Butler. We've also got Exit the King and Corpus Christi. Those three shows are going on tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. You can find out more information at ghostlikeprojects.com. Also on Granville Island at the Waterfront, Carousel Theater is doing their Shakespearean Rhapsody tomorrow and Sunday. And that is a play introducing young audiences to the world of Shakespeare, complete with fairies, music, and a whole lot of action. The Vancouver Fringe Festival is hosting a special event at Studio 1398 on Granville Island. Two shows, TJ Dawes Marathon and Dawson Nichols Virtual Solitaire. And those are happening tonight and tomorrow at 1398 Anderson Street on Granville Island. Pacific Theater, it's the closing weekend for The Whipping Man with Tom Pickett and directed by Anthony Ingram. And this is the story of the Confederate officer at the end of the Civil War returning back to his home having a Passover dinner with his recently freed slaves. Agatha Christie Mystery, Go Back for Murder, is happening at the Metro Theater, going back to their roots, Metro doing another Christie, and this is an adaptation of her novel Five Little Pigs, the story of a daughter trying to clear her mother of murdering her father. That's at Metro in Marple. In North Vancouver, we got Iceland by Nicholas Billen. It's a dirt road production, a scathing, funny, and insightful look at the oppositional forces facing the urban consumer, set against the backdrop of the 2008 banking crisis in Iceland. And that's happening at Presentation House at 3rd and Chesterfield in North Van. And then we've got the ongoing stuff, the East Van Comedy on Sunday at the Havana, and the Sunday services Sunday night at the Fox Cabaret. On the screen, the Rio's doing an Oscars weekend. They've got Whiplash tonight, Birdman tomorrow, and then they're in double bills tonight, Whiplash and The Last Waltz, the documentary of the final concert of the band directed by Martin Scorsese.
And then a classic horror movie called The Duke of Burgundy. And then The Midnight Show, that's tomorrow night with Birdman at the Rio. And then tonight, The Midnight Show is Men in Black. Also on a horror vein, the Northwest Horror Show Festival is starting Saturday at the Van City Festival Theater at Seymour and Davie Street. And tonight is the second anniversary party at the Shameful Tiki Room. Lots of stuff going on all three nights, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. It's a celebration of shame with bartenders, cocktail contests, go-go dancers, Elvis tributes, and the Hang 10 Hangman. And that's all the stuff that's going on this week, and I'm sure you'll find something to your liking there. And we're almost out of time. I didn't get to the auditions again, and I just want to do a quick look to see if there's anything that I really want to get out because it's happening this weekend. There is one. There's a show called The Builders, a new devised theater work, and they are holding their auditions this afternoon at 1 and 3 o'clock at SFU Woodward's on Hastings Street, looking for two women, three men, ideally in your early 20s or 30s. Late 20s, early 30s. This will be an ensemble-based work of devised theater of a folk art entertainment. So if you want to know more about that and all the auditions that we talk about here on Dave Radio, you go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or the Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. There it is. Got it in under the wire. We're going to close with one more tune from the Kenny Rogers Spring Fling. This is another one of the musical acts, a local favorite called the act is called Cat and Tony, and this is a track off their latest release. It's called Leave It Alone.
Sitting on these tracks, waiting for a train, ain't never coming back. Oh no, oh no, I gotta leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Well, you're a hard man to love, loving when you're hot. Streak as mean and nasty as a dog out in the yard.
Just gone out for cigars.
And that's our show. Thanks for spending the lunch hour with us. This week's special shout-out goes to our very own napkin boy, Nardwar himself, for getting a very special letter of recommendation this week from David Reese in the New York Times Magazine. And you can listen for him this afternoon at 3:30 with Nardwar the Human Serviette Presents. Eleanor and Erica are next with Fen Concept, and Dave Radio returns next Friday at this same time. Bye-bye.
Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
I work in the music department.
Hi, my name is Natalie, the new media coordinator.
Hey, it's Rohit Joseph, sponsorship coordinator.
Hi, this is Yusi, and I'm the outreach coordinator.
This is Brenda, host of Peanut Butter and Jams on Thursdays.
Nasher, the ad coordinator at CITR.
My name is Robin Allen, I'm the program manager.
Hi, I'm Eric Coates, the student music executive.
This is Costa, the news director.
Hey, it's John, the production coordinator.
Hey, this is Josh, I'm the digital submissions coordinator.
I'm Nellie, host of The Cat's Pajams.
This is Matt Granlund from Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show.
My name is Hugo, I'm the volunteer manager.
Hey, I'm Jane, I'm the volunteer coordinator.
Hey, it's Sarah Cordon-Lee from the CITR Music Department.
This is Eleanor Waring, president of CITR Student Executive. From all of us at CITR, we would like to acknowledge and thank everyone who donated to this year's fund drive. With the help of listeners like you, we raised over $38,000. For this incredible generosity, we would like to say thank you.
Thanks, you. Thank you for donating to Fun Drive.
Thank you very much for your support. We love you guys. Take it easy.
Thank you so much for donating to Fun Drive.
Thank you. Your donation.